So today I'm going to work on the practice for spiritual communion, which is what we did when we went outside up under the hillside, you know. And I basically just handed you guys fairies, but this is the practice, and I want you to, I'm going to run you through two things, the instructions on spiritual communion, and also how to call on magical beings from my book. If you haven't read my book, this is an introduction for you. If you have read it, you know that there are, you know, different ways to connect with nature spirits and devas and elves, fairies, and elementals. So those five types of beings are spoken about in my book, and I give you specific instructions on how to speak to them and write about my personal experiences with those connections. So today we'll do a little bit of that. Okay. If you have the booklet from Nine Levels, I believe it's on page 141, but last time I was off by a few pages. So there's a fairy photo taken by Vivian Chen, and it's a fairy photo series that she took at my house, and it's of an orb. If you would look at that, it's quite spectacular. That's right.
There page 144.
Yeah. And I can screen share with you guys if you'd like, or you can look at it up close in the, why don't we just have you look in the book? That'll be fine. And that was a picture that was taken by Vivian, who's an old friend of mine. And she was at a party, a New Year's party at our house in 2006. And she arrived, and it was dark when she arrived, and she said, "You have to come outside because there's fairies." So I went outside, and she said, "I can feel them, but I don't know. I can't see them. Can you see them?" So we walked all around the house, and there were two fairies that looked just like this. There was a pink one and a blue one, and they were hovering over our garage on the side of the house. And I followed them as they floated around the whole side of our property. And we had, you know, it's like 50, I think it's 100 feet by 200 feet, our lot. So we went around the front to the corner, and then all the way across the front, they hovered the whole way. And then they finally came to rest over the front door. So Vivian said, "Where are they?" I said, "They're there," and she shot pictures. So she was using a digital camera. And at the advent of digital cameras, which is right around this time, you know, the early aughts, when we started having digital cameras available to the general public, we started seeing these orbs in pictures. We started finding them. And everybody was in a quandary about what the heck are they. And I just flat out said, "Those are fairies." Because when I see fairies, they look like an orb. And then you keep looking at them and you can see their body inside the structure. So this is a fairy structure. And if you really look at it up close, if you blow the picture up and look at it close, you can actually see layers and sort of swirling things. And what it looks like, you can see all of the layers here as they go around. And these blobs are, as far as I can tell, things that are happening in their structure. Either, you know, perhaps other parts of the anatomy. But at the center, you can see this kind of white area here at the center. when I have seen fairies in clear bubbles, they look like they're driving a spaceship. They look like they're seated and they're in a relaxed pose and they're floating in the air in this bubble. And it's pretty interesting to see what we have here, because there's some kind of something that's white at the center. And it looks like multiple little pieces. So I'm not really sure what we're looking at here. But I was also very intrigued by the edge of the structure. It looks kind of fuzzy, like our edge looks. Then I was also interested in the fact that this was sort of pinkish, reddish, and the other one was blue. And when I've seen other orbs before, they're pretty whitish, they're pretty clear. So I've seen lots of different types of orbs, and I believe these are fairies. I believe that's what we're looking at here. So now what I want to do is go into instructions on spiritual communion. So it's, you use spiritual communion to receive assistance and guidance from higher frequency beings. So it'll make you wiser than you would be alone and help you to control the rate of speed at which everything travels. For example, if your SAEM class is causing you to feel overwhelmed with issues and change, slow it down. Right here. You can slow it down. You do not have to be overrun by your life. You can slow it down and ask for help from your guides and get alignment for an easier time of it. To do this, you'll need to work to increase your vibratory rate, because they will not let you slow your life down if your frequency is too low. So you have to increase your frequency, and that's what we'll talk about today. So everybody has their own kind of way of doing this. You can chant, you can listen to chanting, just put on a record listening to chanting. You can do regular meditation, you can do deep breathing, yogic breathing, you can do yoga. Raja yoga is really helpful. And you can do spiritual communion. So the first part of spiritual communion is to embody presence, become anchored, you know, drop your anchor, set your focus, and achieve awareness at the edge. And then you set your intention for spiritual communion and to increase your vibration. So your vibratory rate will come up. Now to begin, you call your helper, a guide, guardian, angel, or a fairy friend if you have one. And you call whoever you can connect with. Now, I think it's really important to allow these connections to be established. I've never believed in teaching people how to connect with their guides, for example. I think that that's something that happens very individually for each and every person. You have your relationship with your guides. I have mine. Someone else has theirs. They don't all come in the same way. So you can't standardize connection particularly. But the first thing you do is expand your template one time. So you call upon your guide, your guardian, an angel, or a fairy friend. So I'm going to do this, and you are going to watch me do this. I think that would be helpful for you. So first I'm going to begin by calling on, I call on Sycamore, my helper, Sycamore, my nature spirit helper. Sycamore is a tree, and it's always helpful. All right, and then I expand my template. Expand just one time. And now I'm going to focus on journeying to my helper from the seat of my presence in the pelvis of the bio layer. And I'm going to go through the emotional layer, primal, mental, cognitive, and finally into the spiritual layer to the strata where they're located. So Sycamore is a guide. So she's in Guides and Guardians. So I'm going to focus on journeying from the seat of my presence in the pelvis of the bio layer. Okay. And then I'm going to move out through the emotional to the primal, to the mental. You can come with me if you'd like. To the cognitive. And finally, I'm going to move into the spiritual layer. I'm going to go right to the strata where she is, which is in the guides and guardians. Then I'm going to expand my template again. And now from guides and guardians, I'm going to enter the spirit river. And I'm going to call my helper. Sycamore, come with me in my journey on the spirit river. And the appropriate dock will allow me to stop. And my helper is either with me or on the dock or just inside the lair. So now I'm going. And I'm going to fairy folk. So I'm moving up. Sycamore is coming with me and is implanting herself right at the dock. And spiritual communion requires me to speed up my structure to a faster rate. So I'm going to focus on my pelvis and spin the energy there in a circle. And it doesn't matter which way. You could spin it either way. And I'm coming up to the rate of my helper. And there I'm there, and I ask for assistance. So I say, Sycamore, I need you to help me to connect with the fairies and fairy folk. Thank you for all your assistance. Expand. Expanding the template again. Now I'm going to maintain internal focus at this expanded vibration. And I could say a mantra or chant or anything I wanted, but I can also just hold the focus because I can feel it coming. And now I'm paying attention and I'm feeling with my imaginal hands, hearing with imaginal ears, looking with imaginal eyes. And here's another picture of a fairy. So now I'm able to communicate with the fairy folk. I can feel I'm at the right vibration. And I can make any observation I want. So I'm going to ask the fairy folk I'm meeting here to please support everybody in the class to have an experience with the fairy folk. And they're like willing to help, but you've got to do the work to get your frequency up high enough. And they're very, very sure that they can help you, but only if you come to them, they won't go to you. So that's the first one. Do you guys have questions about that? Can you feel the altered state of it? How did that work for me to do it and you to watch? Was that helpful, or would it be better for you just to do it? Tasha, what?
I would have preferred to do it with you, but
Okay. Well, I never know which thing is going to work. So this next one you do. Okay. You ready? But you can see from me doing it that it's not a long process, that it's not like really crazy hard. It's something you can do. All right, so now we're going to call on magical beings. This is from my book. So this, in some ways, this is better instruction, so I wanted to use this. Always know who you want to call on before you start, and insert the special instructions at the end of each descriptive section, which we have definitely done, speaking to a magical being, how to call a fairy. All right, so always make the call for a magical being out loud. Always state your request clearly. Always make any offerings immediately. If your guides or guardians need offerings, make sure to make them right away. Always give deep and abiding thanksgiving for whatever they have done. We're so grateful for all of them. And never second guess them or criticize their behavior or their actions. I invited Sycamore to get in the boat, but she just went and stood on the shore. So I didn't say, oh, no, I meant for you to get in the boat. So be extremely polite. All right, so first you alter your state of consciousness by dropping in, becoming quiet and calm. Allow your mind to slow down and your awareness to settle deep into your pelvic bowl. Obviously, the edge will help you do this. If you have a meditation practice, you can use that to embody calm and drop into a meditative altered state. So you can pull just a little of your meditation practice and use it just a little bit. If you don't have a practice, place yourself in a column of golden and silver white universal love and light, which you can do. So this energy comes from the mind and the heart of the divine source and is respected across all time and space. It's the balm of the universe, and it is recognized by all magical beings. So if you're just sitting in a big column of it, this will alter your state of consciousness in a few minutes, which is the first step to calling on a magical being. So we're going to go ahead and allow whatever your practice is to alter your state of consciousness. Take a deep breath. Now we're going to lift your frequency. So speed up your vibrational frequency by focusing in on the center of your pelvis and placing your conscious awakened awareness there. Put your hands on your pelvis and feel that center of your pelvis. And slowly but surely, that awareness will begin to spin in a small circle, either to the right or to the left. Both are okay. So as this happens, you just follow the spin. And as you do your breathing, the speed will increase. It'll be slow at first, but it will go faster and faster as it also gets larger. Feel your energy increasing in intensity and lifting up and out into the higher parts of the sacred anatomy, which stretch way above your head and even below your feet. Keep your eyes closed. because that will help you lift your frequency. And this is the second step to calling on a magical being. And now this is the third step. It's called parting the veil. At this higher frequency vibration, you can now enter the other dimensional realm where magical beings reside. It's right next to the realm we live in, and the two realms are only separated by a thin veil. Parting the veil is a sacred act and requires not just an altered state and lifted frequency, but a heartfelt desire to do so. So now just open your heart and consciously exude loving kindness to all creation. This will allow you to set your human busyness aside and let yourself settle into the altered state that will lead you forward with loving kindness as you hold your intention to communicate with a magical being. The veil will part. And that's the third step to calling on a magical being. And then the fourth step is called make the call. To call on a specific magical being, you must hold them in your conscious mind. Imagine the type of being you wish to call and send a telepathic call out to them to come to you or for you to be led to them. So you can use a telepathic call to call any kind of magical being from here. But we're focusing on fairies today. So call a fairy. And you broadcast the call by stretching your awareness out as if you're holding an open hand. You feel the call radiating outward, like a wave of loving kindness to all life. So feel and visualize a fairy as clearly as you can. Whatever you think a fairy might look like, whether it looks like an orb or a little person with wings, any way they look, just visualize them. Breathe really deep and slow down. But allow yourself to hold the vision of a fairy as you feel your body lifting up to higher frequency. So at this point, we're going to wait attentively for a response. So if at first no one comes, don't be alarmed. Maybe you just are becoming familiar with their realm. It can take a little time. And meanwhile, keep practicing the steps and get very good at each one. It's also possible you may not recognize the magical being yet, a fairy. They might not look like you think they do or should in your own imagination or in your own mind. They might be more subtle or smaller than you've thought they might be. Try to release your ideas of what beings from this other dimensional reality look or feel like. But do remember they come back and forth all the time to visit the human realm. And it's just a step through the parted veil for them. So they're rather good at distinguishing and disguising themselves as light or blending into the natural world. If you're outside in nature, you might see a leaf bouncing, 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 the only leaf on a plant moving. If you look right at that leaf, you may see a fairy. So whatever you do from here, do not complain about who shows themselves to you. They do not like or appreciate whining of any kind, and they will leave. Accept whoever comes as being the exact being you need to meet at that moment, and be grateful that they're reaching back to you in any form. From this awakened state, note distinctions in your environment. Watch for flutters and light movement that doesn't quite make sense. Like if suddenly you have a rainbow light floating across the room that doesn't make any sense in your world, dial into what you notice, and when you say hello, wait for their response, which is the fifth step to call on a magical being. So you just wait very attentively for a response and a reaction. The sixth step is speaking to a magical being. So it's a pretty big deal to make first contact with a magical being. But remember, you're also that to them. They may want to connect with you as much as you do with them, because we humans are also filled with power and magic. We just forget it. So speak softly at first and always be polite. Hello, dear. Realize they may be startled when they become aware that you can see them, as they're used to sitting right in front of us all the time and not being noticed. Use your softest voice from deep in your body so it carries the sound of the altered state and the lifted frequency. This will help them to hear you as a voice instead of how they normally hear humans, as ambient noise, like the wind or waves on the shore. Never demand or order the magical being to reveal themselves. Cultivate the moment by being humble, choosing your words with care. They will all respond to love and spacious communications. So acknowledging them as living beings by politely introducing yourself. Hello, my name is Desda. I'm glad to meet you. Thank you for coming. Most of all, be quiet and cultivate a relationship with thoughtfulness, which is the sixth step to calling on a magical being. And take a deep breath. So once you've encountered a magical being, you can ask for help with something, you can ask for instruction or direction, but remember, you must always give them a gift. Don't just expect to walk away. You have to leave something there. And they love glass beads, so you can give them a little glass bead. But whatever you do, don't leave your diamond rings in the bowl, or you'll take them. Fairies love diamonds. Okay. That's it. So now what I'd like to do is hear what your experiences were like. If you have a chance to share, it would be quite interesting for all of us. And if you have questions after what we've done, I might be able to help you if you're wondering if you got stuck on a point. Yes, Tasha.
I have a question. Are you likely to meet a being inside a house?
They're inside and outside all the time. When you meet a fairy inside a house, it will probably be a house fairy or house elf if you're doing the elf practice. The elementals you will never meet in a house. Nature spirits, unless they're mice and rats and the other creatures that live in houses, mosquitoes, etc., you probably won't meet them in a house. Although, if you're doing a journey, you might meet a magical nature spirit in a journey in the upper realm, the middle realm, or the lower realm. Those things happen in houses because you're in an altered state in a different reality, and it doesn't, there's no limitation. Now, when I see fairies inside the house, they're always surrounded by flowers and trees, and it's like they bring their environment with them. But they're also cognizant that they're inside of a building, but they have their environment. That's just what I experience. It may not be what you experience. It could be different. What was that like for you, Tasha?
Well, at one point I did see like a little collection of lights. It wasn't just one. It was like little pinpricks of several in one area. Mm-hmm. And I didn't know what I was experiencing. I just said hi and thanks. I didn't really ask for guidance. I just was glad to see them.
Well, you know, when you do this exercise again, see if they come again. And if they do, then you're for sure in connection with something. Yeah. Elisa, hi.
Hello. I have a question. During the exercise, right at the end, with my hands open, I felt an energy in my hand. I can't see the images, I mean, in real time of the fairy. But if I close my eyes, I have an image in my mind that's come up. But with open eyes, I can't see her.
That's okay. That's all right. Yeah. If the way that you see is inside your imaginal mind, you know, your imagination, your insight, your, you know, subtle realms within your own mind, that's perfectly acceptable.
Okay. It's not suggestion.
There's a suggestion earlier about if you imagine it, that's okay. If you think you're imagining it. Basically, the question I always ask is, whoever told you that imagination wasn't real?
Yes.
Who was it who told you that? Because they stole something from you. What?
With a big nose.
What was it with a big nose?
She has always, she's really small, uh-huh, and she have a big, big nose.
Oh, is it like a fox or like an animal nose?
A little bit, yeah. It's really big, uh-huh, big, the nose. Really, really big. And she's not polite, but she's really straight, yes.
Mm-hmm. To be straight. And the big nose is her like animal feature. A lot of them have tails and paws and claws and pointy ears.
Okay. Great.
They look very much like animals, but they're not. They're fairies. Different. Very cool. Yeah.
But they have an age or no? They are older or young. It depends. They don't have age.
I think that they live a very long time.
Yeah.
And age, they're kind of outside of our idea of what space and time is, you know? So for them, a long life might for us be, you know, maybe 100 years for us would be 1,000 years for them. We don't really know.
Okay. Thank you. I will ask for.
You can ask. Yeah. Nazi.
Yeah, my question is on the instruction on the spiritual communion. Begin communion, you're saying call your helper, guide, guardian, angel, or fairy friend. So, but the following instruction is only for the fairy friends, right? Could the same practice be applied to guides or guardians?
No,
or does it have to be only the fairy friends? Sorry.
The way that I teach spiritual communion is by using your template really aggressively. And then when I wrote the book, How to Call on Magical Beings, I didn't include that because these are not practitioners. So the only thing that I did that was kind of in the SAEM world was bringing in universal love and light. And yeah, that's all, I think. Yeah. So this is really written for people who are not, you know, initiated into sacred anatomy.
Okay, so if you are, you could call up on your guardians? Is that what you're saying?
You can call on whoever you want. Yeah.
Okay.
Guides, guardians, angels.
Angels.
Whoever you want. You just use the process and it, you know, it actually works.
Would it be the same process as you're applying to angels?
You can use the same process for angels. Angels, it's a little different, actually. And there's less rigmarole with angels.
Hmm.
Fairies, you've got to do a lot.
Hmm.
Nature spirits, fairies, elves, elementals.
So if you're going down devas, the river.
And devas.
And devas. So if you're going down the spirit river, you can stop by the other stratums and ask for them as opposed to going to the fairy. Okay.
Yeah. When you're first starting, you say where you want to go. Like you can go to the deity strata and, you know, meet Lakshmi, you know, or you can go to the angelic strata and meet Saint Francis or the angel of compassion. You can go there and they're right there, you know. This is the thing, you have access to these great beings. It's hard for people to understand, you know, because it's like, well, if I really had access, wouldn't I just be able to go there? No, not really. No.
And I'm using my intuition first. So you come from the intuition, which is the divine seed of divine feminine, to communicate with these various stratums.
You don't necessarily come from the seed of the divine feminine. You're coming from your grounded, anchored self.
I see.
And that's balanced, masculine and feminine. That's both.
Hmm.
And so are they, by the way.
Yeah.
Devas usually are mostly feminine, but they're solar and lunar. They have solar qualities and lunar qualities. So they're balanced. They're totally balanced, but they're, generally speaking, you refer to them as women, or as she or he, her. Elves, male and female, fairies, male and female, and everything in between, by the way.
Thank you.
Yep. There are trans fairies. And nature spirits are, generally speaking, male or female, but there's room in the natural world and the nature spirit world for other expressions as well. So you can't allow your humanness to influence you in a way. You have to kind of be open to what shows up, what comes forward. And just like a child, you have to pretty much accept them how they come out. They are how they are. Oh. Are there any other questions on spiritual communion? Are you excited to go try this and take it out and shake off the cobwebs and do it in your own world? Christina, I'll be interested to hear what happens in the woods of Pennsylvania. And I'd urge you to go outside for this practice. Yes, Christina, go ahead.
I want to call upon a Sasquatch or something interesting like that.
Sasquatch?
Yeah, I want to see one.
Start with a fairy, honey. Work up to a Sasquatch. They're hard to find. They may not live in Pennsylvania. You might have to go to the Arctic for them.
I heard that they're very shy too. They don't just show their face to anybody.
A lot of those creatures don't, you know. The Yeti in the Himalayan mountains. I mean, there's enough legends about the Yeti to think there must be something. Just like the giants of the American Indian tribes that lived in the, you know, on the East Coast, in the Northeast Coast. There were giants, supposedly. And there were stories about them. You know, lots of stories. So you never know. And if you go to Malta or you go to Sardinia, you know, there are these huge burial areas for giants. It's like hard to believe that they didn't exist. Why would anyone build a giant gravesite? You know, it's crazy. But one of the things that can help you with your fairies is to build fairy houses in your garden. And if you have any children in your life, little children, anywhere from 3 to 7 or 8 years old, get them building fairy houses out in the garden. And you'd be amazed what shows up in the fairy houses. Sometimes older children will be fine up to probably around 12. And depending on the kid, you know. Sometimes the whimsy is still really fresh in a 12-year-old, and sometimes it's not. So